Brad Locke.
And I'm Dalton Milton.
And you're listening to Prep Rally, a podcast covering high school sports in Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Dalton, you and I are just full of fire today, aren't we?
I am full of ready to go home.
Full of spit and vinegar. Me too. My excuse is I've been sick. What's your excuse?
I want to go home.
He just wants to go home.
I don't have an excuse this week. I just am.
Well, you've been filling in for me because I've been sick, so that's probably,
It just kind of, I got turned around Monday when I got here late, and I was going to get here around lunchtime coming back from Tuscaloosa, and then Adam Gore texted me, so I went over to ICC. I ended up not getting here till about 3:30 or so, and then turned around and instantly went to cover softball at 5 over Tupelo. And it just seems like yesterday I spent all day on that Tupelo. I mean, not the Tupelo, the ICC Tupelo girl ICC soccer feature. And then today, you know, we took a 3-hour trip to Houston earlier.
Yeah, so. Went to Houston for the DJ Preps football preview show. If y'all missed it, go check it out at DJournal.com.
It's been one of those weird weeks though, but
it has been for me too, but for different reasons. But I'm back at work today here on Wednesday, October 2nd. Welcome in, Brad and Dalton here on the latest edition of the Prep Rally podcast. Here to talk football, and I think probably football. Sounds good.
Sounds good to me.
Three pretty solid topics to talk about as we enter week 7 of the high school season. Just a reminder that this podcast does come to you every Wednesday, and you can find us in iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or online at preprally.djournal.com, and be sure to follow us on Twitter at DJournalPreps. Let's jump right into the football rewind. Dalton, some key results from last week. Itawamba AHS hosting Houston. It was a battle of the unbeatens last Friday night. I was there. And, honestly, it was not as close as I thought it might be. Houston has been banged up. They're missing some key starters with injuries and whatnot. But still, you know, they're a very good team and going to be a force in 3A, I think. But the Itawamba with Ike Chandler and Davion Sistrunk, man, they were just too much in that game. Itawamba getting the 38-14 win to improve to 6-0 on the season. And Chandler, I mentioned him, he had a nice game. 212 yards and a touchdown.
They're rolling.
On 22 carries. Yeah, they are. Davion Sistrunk did his thing running and passing. Had a couple of touchdown passes there in the third quarter to kind of open things up. And he hit Tay Chandler on those. Mm-hmm. I believe that's Ike's little brother.
It is. He's actually had a pretty good year if you look at the stats. He's got, you know, 5 or 6 receiving touchdowns.
Yeah. So, and big plays is kind of what told the story in that game. I think they had 4 plays of 40-plus yards. Chandler had 2 of those. He had a 65-yard touchdown run, and then he had a 66-yard run to set up another touchdown. He ended up, like I said, with 212, and he's that guy that if you don't hit him at the line of scrimmage, once he gets going, it's hard to get him down. And that's kind of what happened on both those plays. I believe they were both pretty much between the tackles.
The downhill runner.
And once he got going, they just, he couldn't wrap him up. They were lucky to catch him on that one 66-yard run, but it still led to a touchdown. And they also had a 43-yard touchdown run by Anthony Dilworth. That's what started the scoring for the game. And they also had by Sistrunk an 80-yard kickoff return for touchdown. So 4 huge plays. That was more than enough there for Itawamba. And also they were really, really clutch on third downs. 10 of 14 converted.
That's pretty good.
And both of Davion Sistrunk's touchdown passes were on 3rd and long. I think like one was a 3rd and 8, another a 3rd and 12 or 14 or something like that. But anyway, Itawamba rolling there in 4A, getting the 38-14 win over Houston. Let's see, next game to talk about, Dalton, Tupelo and Hernando. That was the 1-6A opener for both of those teams. That's where you were. And Tupelo, after a week off, they looked pretty sharp, didn't they?
Yeah, there's the... There's not too much to talk about this one. It was basically all Tupelo there. They went out and they scored a touchdown on each of their first 4 drives. They had 28 points. They were up 28-0 30 seconds into the second quarter. Jake Ware, you know, we've talked about him before. He's got, you know, he's been extremely efficient as a quarterback for Tupelo. He throws four touchdown passes in the game. Three to Tripp Wilson. He had a breakout game. And, I mean, Tupelo just rolled. I mean, they the four touchdowns in the first quarter basically came, you know, two touchdowns to Tripp Wilson, one to Jacob Horn, you know, who Ole Miss receiver commit who's had a great season. And then Jarius McKinister. He's kind of the backup running back now. I think he was a second, third string guy throughout the season. He scored his first touchdown of the season on the ground, and then they kind of fell into a little lull. Hernando fought back. They had two touchdowns in the course of the second and third quarter, and then it's 28-14 going to the fourth quarter. David Hayes scores like the second play of the fourth quarter, puts them 35-14. They score again, and it's over. But you know, they went up 28-0 before you could even blink in that game, and then just maintain that lead throughout. You know, that was a Tripp Wilson's little coming out party. It seemed like he had six catches for about 163, three touchdowns, easily his best game of the year. I know he caught a touchdown the previous game against West Point, so you kind of see him being involved a lot more in the pass game. So could be something to look more towards in the near future.
Yeah, definitely a nice game for that Tupelo offense. Another game that was of note in 1A, Tupelo Christian was hosting Knox-Pater, big division game there in 2-1A, and Knox-Pater comes out on top in overtime, 35-33 in the extra period. TCPS scored first, but did not get the point after attempt, and then Knox-Pater, I guess they just go for two all the time. They scored, tied it up, went for two, got it. KD Carter, you've seen him play before. He had a nice game.
Yeah, and they won in overtime in the game I saw him as well.
That's right, when they beat Smithville.
But, yes, they do. They just go for two after the attempt at a PAT I saw in their first touchdown against Smithville. Mm-hmm. I don't blame them for going for two on everything.
Yeah.
I mean, that KD Carter kid, he is so fast. He's just like kind of he doesn't have the throwing ability of DT Sheffield, but he's the speed and as a quarterback, he runs the ball and has the speed of DT Sheffield in 1A.
Wow, yeah, that's pretty impressive. And so a tough loss for TCPS, dropping to 1-2 in division. But now they have played what appear to be the two best teams in the division. They lost to Nanawaya a couple weeks ago, 67-28, and then losing this one to Knox-Pater, 35-33. Knox-Pater has beaten Smithville, as you mentioned. So that Smithville-TCPS game looms really large in a few weeks. They meet on the 25th in Smithville. That could be a good one.
Yeah, well, one team that's kind of stuck out to me just looking at every single week is West Lowndes. Somebody, they won three games last year, and then all of a sudden, I think they lost to Nanawaya by 10, and now they're 2-1 in division. And
yeah,
it's just like,
so who knows? This division's tough, man.
Well, I kind of figured, coming into the season, it would be a five-team battle between Nanawaya, Knox-Pater's 1-2, Smithville TCPS is 3-4, and then French Camp.
Yeah.
And, French Camp's still in it, but, TCPS already beat French Camp once,
sure,
and then now you get West Lowndes in there. So, I mean, there's six teams right there fighting for four spots.
That's crazy, man. It'll be a fun division to watch. So that's a quick recap of Week 6. Looking ahead to some key games in Week 7, start with East Webster at Calhoun City, Division 2-2A opener for both of those schools. Two very good 2A teams. Of course, East Webster unbeaten at 6-0. Calhoun City 3-3. That's deceptive. They've played a tough schedule. They already own a win over Water Valley, the reigning 3A champ, coming off a 7-6 loss to North Pontotoc last week. Calhoun City still playing tough defense, as you'd expect. Haven't really found as much on offense, averaging like 19 points a game, and facing an East Webster team that has found its offense. They're averaging like 36 a game, I think it is. Got Steven Betts at quarterback. Remember, a couple of weeks ago, had a huge game against East Union. Yeah. Now, he's apparently getting better at passing, but they don't do it a lot. So that's going to be an interesting matchup there, because Calhoun City, they can defend the pass. Okay. And I saw that, and they had three picks against a good Water Valley quarterback, and they certainly can defend the run. So I kind of wonder how much they'll, I'm sure they'll probably just let their defensive backs, play one-on-one coverage, which is, I think, what they usually do, and just kind of focus on stopping the run or slowing it down, and kind of be a fun strength-on-strength matchup. But now, let's not forget East Webster has a pretty good defense, too.
Right.
Kobe Smith and those guys do a good job at getting after teams. So I don't know how this game's going to go. It's a tough one to pick.
Well, I think that's where the result's going to come from is, you know, can Cal City score on East Webster? Because you tell me 2 weeks ago when they beat Water Valley 14-0, I'd be like, oh yeah, you know, that they're starting to peak or starting to get better, and then all of a sudden they lose 7-6 to North Pontotoc last week, and it's like,
right.
I mean,
who knows? But they played a tough schedule.
Yeah, they certainly have.
North is a good 4A team. They lost to another game to look at. Olive Branch at Tupelo in 1-6A. I know it's only the second week of division play there, but these are two teams that could be fighting for that 2 seed for sure. Mm-hmm. And so this is a big one there.
Yeah, I don't really know much about Olive Branch. I know they've only got one win over a team in Mississippi. They're 3-2, just like Tupelo. They lost to Clinton in they had a bye week the first week of the season, then lost to Clinton in week two, and then they've lost to Corinth, which Tupelo beat. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to look at, like, transitive scores and stuff like that, but
right.
Then they beat DeSoto Central last week, 31-12 to start off division play, which, you know, I'm not sure what DeSoto Central has this year. I know last year they did not impress me, but years are different, of course.
Right.
So they do have two Danny Dozens on their team. I think one's offensive lineman, one's a linebacker, both D1 SEC kids. So, you know, of course, you know, one person can give somebody fits. You know, I think somebody like Janari Dean has proved that before.
Right.
But, you know, I don't know how the defense is going to hold against, you know, Trip Wilson, Jacob Horn, and Jake Ware. And then I keep mentioning those three guys, but then you also got an extremely talented running back in David Hayes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, I'm looking at Olive Branch, just the stats and stuff. They kind of seem a little one-dimensional on offense.
Yeah.
I think the quarterback's passing or completing about 40% of his passes, nothing special. I think he's got 300 yards, completing 41%, two touchdowns, two picks. So.
Yeah. So, who knows?
They throw a little bit, but they got two running backs. One's got 511 yards, six touchdowns. One's got 633, eight touchdowns. So, okay. I mean, they're going to run the ball.
Yeah, and they got more than one guy that can do it. That can wear down a defense. But still, definitely a winnable game for Tupelo and one they need to win, in my opinion. Let's see here. And one more to look at in 3A, Houston at Noxubee County. Here's another division opener in 4-3A. Hilltoppers trying to bounce back from that loss we mentioned a while ago to Itawamba AHS. Now, they've been bitten hard by the injury bug, Dalton, and we visited with Ty Harden today for the DJ Preps football preview show, and he lost another one this week. But he's got some guys coming back. He had a couple come back last week, but it's just been unbelievable for them. They've had they've got five out for the year?
Five starters out for the year, and then they've got, I mean, what is it, like three or four more starters that are out for the time being. You know, I think they got one back today, and they lost the one. So it's not getting better, which I don't remember last week somebody – I might have heard him say it. I don't remember where it was, but that injury bug got them worse than it's ever gotten them before. And
yeah, he said it's the worst than it's been his previous three seasons or however many seasons as coach.
Yeah, combined is what
combined,
he said.
Yeah.
And then we go over there today, and, you know, everyone's wearing braces and on crutches and got cast. And so, wow, I didn't realize it was that, you know.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. But Houston, they're pretty resilient, so I think they'll have a fighting chance in this one. And, again, that's Houston at Noxubee County. Okay, now let's talk about a big story that developed late last week involving Morville. The Troopers have been put on probation by the MHSAA, which means they are not eligible for the playoffs. Now, in case you somehow missed it, what happened in the New Albany game a couple of weeks ago, things got pretty heated, had several incidents, physical altercations, flags were flying, and in the fourth quarter, Morville losing badly, their coach, Jimmy Young, just pulled them off the field, so they were leaving. You know, he said later he was, you know, worried about the safety of the players. Athletics director Roman Doty said, you know, that's what they were worried about, and he did not... He didn't say that Jimmy did the wrong thing. It just probably was the wrong approach.
Right.
He probably should have talked to the officials, gotten everybody together, other coaches and be like, okay, we need to put a pin in this and just try to finish the game in a civil manner. But, you know, the emotions are running high at that moment and everything, and so they just walked off the field. So that automatically puts you on probation, which means you missed the playoffs, which is too bad because Morville is having a really fine year and I think could make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Now, there is a ray of hope. They have filed an appeal with the MHSAA. That should get ruled on Thursday, tomorrow. We're recording this on Wednesday afternoon, the 2nd of October, so it should get ruled on Thursday. They should know their postseason fate by then, Dalton. And, you know, I don't want to be taking sides on this, but, boy, you'd hate to see the kids miss mm-hmm. a chance to go to the playoffs. They're having a pretty good year.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, I think you can say that without taking a side. You know, I don't want any kid that's deserving of going to the playoffs to have to miss the playoffs because of a, you know, maybe not even such a mistake that Jimmy Young made, just, you know, kind of him taking the kids off the field. I don't really know if I would consider that a mistake or not, just maybe the way he did it. But
yeah, I don't know. But
I wasn't there, so I can't comment on what happened or anything. So, I mean, I wish I would have been there so I could actually could comment and be like, oh, this is what happened. This is what I saw. But
right. Well, Morville is 4-2 right now, and they beat the Mantachie pretty badly last week. And then this week they opened division play against Pontotoc, which is kind of having a down year. It's a winnable game, and but they should know by before kickoff whether they'll be eligible for the playoffs. Kind of wonder how that'll affect the mindset if they don't get the appeal.
Yeah, I was going to say that could really change the whole course of the season. You know, are the players going to want to still play as hard? You know, or
yeah,
you know that. I mean, you hate to say that because you know Jimmy Young's going to have the kids ready no matter what. But like,
yeah, but yeah, it's you know, it would be a heavy blow to the kids' psyche, no doubt, if it didn't go their way. So we'll keep y'all posted on that. All right, let's go to the shout out for this week, Dalton. All-star football selections were made on Wednesday for both the Mississippi-Alabama All-Star game and the Bernard Blackwell Classic, which is the North-South game. And a lot of area players. How many did we have selected to the Mississippi-Alabama game?
10. Would you like me to run through them?
Real quick.
We have offensive line, Jonquez Roby from West Point.
Uh-huh.
Jacob Horn and Rufus Harvey, wide receivers from Tupelo and Starkville. Running back, Randy Anderson, quarterback at Lafayette, will be playing running back.
Mm-hmm.
Tight end / H-back, J.J. Pegues from Oxford. Mm-hmm. Defensive line, Robert Spearman, West Point. Jalen Ware, Starkville. Linebackers, Keon Williams, I'm guessing how you pronounce it,
Keon.
From Oxford. Defensive backs, Tyrese Hopkins from Starkville. And special teams, Hayes Hammond, long snapper from Tupelo.
Pretty good selections there. However, noticeably absent are a couple of guys you thought might be on that squad, one being Calvin McMillan, the huge lineman from Houston, and Byron Pearson from Oxford, who had, what, 7 picks last year, has already got 3 this year.
Has 33 passes defended since the start of last year.
Yeah, I think he's got 10 of those this year. Are they really that? Not only did they not get picked to the Mississippi-Alabama game, they didn't even get picked to the Bernard Blackwell Classic game.
Yeah, they didn't get picked North-South.
Which makes no sense.
Which
there are not that many DBs and O-linemen better than those two.
Yeah, and you know I can definitely speak because I looked it up earlier. There was 4 North kids on Miss Al, offensive lineman, and then, of course, there's 8 North kids, 8 North offensive linemen on the North team. There is not 12 offensive linemen in the North part of the state better than Calvin McMillan.
No. It's just a fact.
Yeah.
So sometimes you wonder if these football coaches know as much as they think they do, or they're just not paying attention to certain players. I don't know how it all works, but and then Brandon Harris of West Point, you think he'd be a good choice for the North-South game. You're not on there. Dynamic playmaker, led him to the state title last year.
Could be a kid that's, you know, could be one of the top 3 players in Class 5A in the entire state.
Yeah, it's a head-scratcher. I don't know what to tell you about that. But congrats to those who did make it. Certainly all deserving. So that's your shout-out, and let's wrap it up with the Athletes of the Week. Female Athlete of the Week, Dalton, is Mia Griffin, sophomore volleyball player for Alcorn Central. You saw her play recently.
Mm-hmm.
Her last 3 matches, she has a total of 41 kills, 47 digs, and 8 service aces. It's pretty good.
She is extremely good.
Yeah, against Kossuth on Tuesday. Excuse me, Kossuth. In that match, a 3-1 win for Alcorn, Mia had 23 kills and 28 digs.
Yeah. She's
4 sets.
She's not bad.
Not bad at all. Alcorn Central, not bad either. Having a fine. I think they're still unbeaten in division.
That, I'm not sure if that one wins them division or, you know, they're in the driver's seat in division.
Oh, yeah. So. Yeah, definitely. And then the male athlete of the week, mentioned him a while ago, Tripp Wilson, the senior wide receiver for Tupelo. And that went over Hernando, 6 catches for 163 yards and 3 touchdowns. That is a very good yards per catch average. Mm-hmm. So, big playmaker there for the Golden Wave. So, congrats to those two athletes of the week. And that's all the time we got for this episode of Prep Rally. Thank y'all for joining us. Again, we come to you every Wednesday. You can find us on iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or online at preprally.djournal.com. Follow us on Twitter at djournalpreps. Dalton's on there at dlmiddleton8. I'm on there at Brad Locke. And that's it for this episode. We will be back next week. See you then.